go into the minutes. Hopefully this will be quite a quick meeting today. Right, okay, let's get cracking. So, grid operator on duty handover. This is the old style COD going from Russia to UK Ireland this week. The Russian report, basically they said they had nothing to report. Do either of those teams, Russia or UK Ireland, have any questions or comments? Okay, we'll move on to the new central COD. So this is the new star COD this week from Asia-Pacific to Southwest Europe. The Asia-Pacific team said that they didn't really have any issues to raise. They just wanted us to notify North Europe ROC to take action on 3 expired tickets and 1 alarm that's older than 3 days. So do we have North Europe on the line?
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Ron. So this is just, I pasted these onto the agenda. I guess there's probably an email or something in the GIGA system for this as well. But they just asked me to remind the North Europe ROC about this.
Okay. I'll take a look at them.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so let's move on. Pre-production service reports and issues and GLUT release news. I'll do a quick summary of this. Antonio's still off sick. So there was a meeting, an SCAS GL exec checkpoint meeting last week, where there seems to be quite some progress. Also some issues being seen there, particularly at Lyon. But the work there is going ahead, and CMS are getting involved there. Also on the CREAM side, testing is just starting for the transition criteria. And again, there is further testing with CMS. There's a WMS being set up in Italy, which has patches. Basically, it's a custom built, if you like, WMS, so that it's fully compatible with the production version of CREAM. And CMS will be using that to carry out some testing for the CREAM CE. So that's really PPS. On the release news, there was a release to production last week, update 46, which was mostly DPM and LFC 1.7. The interesting thing about this is, so DPM 1.7 includes the changes needed for the installed capacity for WLCG. So this is interesting for if sites that have a DPM, if they could upgrade quickly, then they'll start publishing the agreed metrics quite quickly. This update 46 also included VOMS. There was an update to the VOMS client, but it wasn't originally intended to be in this update, but there were dependencies between RPMs that basically dragged it in. So the VOMS, I think it was mostly bug fixes and things. The VOMS client went out as well in that update. On the PPS side, I know that there is preparation going ahead now for the GLUT 3.2 user interface going into PPS. So this will be, I can't remember which PPS update it is, the number, but anyway, that should be happening quite soon. So hopefully, we'll be seeing that user interface set of clients going through to production fairly promptly, after a week or two, I guess. Okay, so that's it. That's all that I know. Any questions from anybody?
Hi, Nick. It's Jeremy. Can you hear me?
Can indeed.
A quick question on the DPM. Are we expecting an SL5 release soon? Because you said sites should upgrade quickly, but...
An SL5 release. I don't know what the next services are that the integration people are working on for SL5. I know that they targeted the client, so the working node and the UI, as top priority. Now, I guess now that the UI is moving towards PPS, then they must have a list of the next services they're going to try. I don't know what they are though. I'll ask. I'll pick that up and ask.
Okay,
this DPM is SL4 for the 1.7. The reason for upgrading to this, I think, to be honest, I think DPM is a little bit further down the line. I know that in until a few weeks ago, it wasn't building completely on SL5. So I think that has been fixed, but it means that certification, if it has started, would only have started fairly recently. So I'm guessing that's a little bit down the line. Any other questions, anybody? Okay, we'll move on. I didn't see any issues coming from the ROC reports this week, but if any ROCs have something they want to raise, please do it now. No, okay. Grid service interventions, I picked out mostly the WLC G tier 1s and other larger sites. There are many more, as usual, many more downtimes than the ones shown in the agenda. If you go to the link for the GOCDB, you'll be able to see them all. But basically a set of highlights there. Okay, so the next item in the agenda, update on downtimes in the GOCDB, so the mechanisms for the downtimes. Do we have Gilles on the line?
Yep. Hi, Nick. I'm here.
Hi, Gilles. So if you could give us a quick summary, that would be great.
Okay. So this is just a quick reminder to everybody that has to declare downtime through the GOCDB interface. You've probably have seen that from 1 month or so, we changed the interface so that declaration dates are now specified automatically. And then the classification between scheduled and unscheduled downtimes is made automatically as well, which means that this is done according to the EG intervention procedures document that is linked from the web interface, from the GOCDB. If you have a downtime which is shorter than 4 hours, then it has to be declared at least 24 hours in advance to be declared as a scheduled downtime. Otherwise, it will be an unscheduled downtime. Then if the downtime is longer than 4 hours, it will have to be declared more than 1 week in advance. And there has been recently a bug which has been reported to us, what happens if the downtime lasts exactly 4 hours. And, well, we had just a specific use case there. I've corrected the bug. Now, it's not in production yet, but it will be soon. If a downtime is declared and has a duration of exactly 4 hours, then it's enough to declare it 24 hours in advance. However, until this bug is really propagated into production, that might be wise to declare downtimes for a bit shorter than 4 hours. I mean, 3 hours and 59 minutes or something like that. The case is a bit different for grid operation tools like GOCDB itself or the Kick Portal or GGUS SAM that have to declare the downtimes more than 2 weeks in advance, and then this is automatically broadcasted. And if it's declared less than 2 weeks in advance, this is classified as being unscheduled. Notification rules have been coupled to that. And I will just go very quickly on that. There are notifications which are sent at the declaration time. The maximum declaration time, so the 1 week in advance for long downtimes, or 2 weeks in advance for grid ops downtime. Then when the downtime starts and when the downtime ends. And this is not something I will spend too much time on, because it's something that the Kick Portal people have already described and explained in the new notification procedure. So there is only one thing I would like to remind everybody, which is about extending duration and downtimes. There is something which has not been yet implemented in GOCDB, and that is, if you need to declare a short downtime and then you need to extend it, then the classification of a downtime is not changed automatically as it should for now. So just bear in mind that it's just a technical trick for now and that it will be soon implemented. I can give the reference to the task about it. It's in the GOCDB Savannah task list, and then it's linked from the portal again. So I guess everybody who's interested can find it quite easily.
Okay. So sorry, Gilles. So you mean this is the if a downtime gets extended, it wouldn't handle the scheduled unscheduled at the moment?
Yes. For example, if you declare a downtime which you declare it as being shorter than 4 hours, and then suddenly you change your mind and you say that your downtime will last 3 days, then it will remain being classified as scheduled, although it should be classified as unscheduled because of a timeline not being followed properly.
Okay.
So all these rules are not correctly implemented yet, but it's in the development plan.
Okay, that's fine.
And basically the answer to get rid of that is just not to allow any extension, but if a downtime has to be extended, then the proper way to do this is to create a new downtime that starts at the end of the previous one. So this is what had been decided some time ago and not put into practice yet.
Okay, that sounds fine, because I know it's after speaking with a few people on the WLCG side that it was, because I guess that would make it easier to sort of distinguish extensions
yep.
to completely brand new downtown. So I know that this
yep.
was a nice-to-have thing, but so if we can supply it, then that would
yep.
be good, isn't it?
And there is a very complicated way to do this, is that to do this everything in the code side in GOGDB and try to find extension and extend the model of downtimes. Or there is a very easy way, which is not allow any extension and just create new downtimes labeled as extensions.
Which yeah, exactly. Which seems to fit
yep.
perfectly. So I think yeah, that sounds good. Okay.
So I think that's it from my part, unless someone has any specific question about it.
Nope, okay, well, I've got a question, actually. There's an action item that's been on me for some time, and I can remember asking you at least twice, and you answered me, and I kept forgetting to put the answer into the action. So it's a question about RSS feeds. Are the RSS feeds updated when a downtime is modified, either extended or shortened? Is a new RSS feed sent out or a new
Yeah, apparently what Osman told is that anytime something is modified on GOGDB, then they just get the information back on Kick Portal, and then they just process again this, and then modification are broadcasted. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that. So that was, just wanted to make sure I got that. Okay, any other questions from anybody? As we've got Gilles on the line to do with downtime notifications and things. Nope, okay, so I guess it's all clear to everybody now. Okay, thanks for that, Gilles. It's
Thank you.
Very handy, because I know there were quite a few significant changes made to that recently.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thanks.
Nick?
Yep.
Ross here. It's not for Gilles, it's for the point before. There's a list of downtimes for the Tier 1 sites, and I want to make a pre-announcement of a large outage of our mass storage system, which will happen in the first week of June. So this will result in degradation of service for Dcache. It will be announced correctly later on with the normal delay, but it's an outage of our mass storage system for a whole week. So I prefer to tell this already now. This is because of a major release change of HPSS with a lot of features, and this is a very complicated thing. So we prefer to be very cautious, for we don't like to lose several petabytes of data. And the correct announcement in the normal way will be done soon.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that, Rolf. So is this a complete outage, or will it be an at risk, or just degradation, or how? What will it be?
The mass storage system will be completely out of service.
Okay.
So every data which are not staged are inaccessible.
Okay.
Thanks, Rolf. We'd been pre-warned on this. Just to remind you that week two, when we've scheduled the step 09 high tape activity test. So let's fingers crossed that you're fully back for the second week.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about this, but
we've been warned.
We have to do it somewhere before LCG data acquisition starts. So
yep, sure.
Sorry.
Okay, thanks for that, Rolf. I'll include that into the agenda and into the minutes as well. Okay, thanks. Okay, so where were we? There's a question that popped. Actually, Gilles, are you still on the line?
Yep.
You are. Okay, I've got one other question that came into my head. So I know there was somebody raised a question about at-risk downtimes and whether they are flagged as scheduled and unscheduled, or how they're handled.
there is no difference between at-risk and outage as long as the declaration times are concerned. So if it's an at-risk downtime which is declared, I mean, the same timeline as a outage, it will appear the same way.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that. So I'll include that in the minutes, because I know that at least one, I think a couple of sites have asked about this in the past, so
okay.
I'll put that in for reference. Okay, thanks. Okay, and anybody, any other questions? No? Okay, so we can move on to OSG items. Do I have anybody from OSG on the line?
Yes, Rob.
Hi, Rob. Hi. Okay, so Maria can't be here, but... She's updated the agenda item with the tickets. I think at least two, if not all three, of these tickets were to do with Atlas, and she's actually asked Atlas to check that these tickets. The suspicion is that these tickets actually can be closed. That the action, you know, they've been fixed. The fixes are in place. So Atlas is just double checking that, and then I guess the tickets will get closed.
Right. So of these tickets, actually, and I've just asked Kyle to get Gunter and Arvind on the phone to talk about our ticket exchange. These final two, we don't have tickets for at all at OSG. The urgent and the very urgent Atlas tickets did not make it to us at all. Those don't exist in our system, which is why there's been no response on those. But I've asked Kyle and Gunter and Arvind to work out what's happening with the ticket exchange. The other ones, two of them are closed and on our end and should be closed on your ends, which is another functionality in the ticket exchange that needs to be reviewed as to why when we close, you're not seeing the close.
Okay.
And the other one, the older one, 37059, actually was reopened, and I know there's not a mechanism in the ticket exchange to reopen a ticket. So any of the new information didn't get in there. I reopened that ticket, and that's another thing to, I guess, talk about in the ticket exchange, whether we can have that functionality built in there.
Okay.
So all of these items, I think, are fixed at this point. But there's definitely something in the ticket exchange that's kind of fishy.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, yeah, could explain a few... miscommunications on the tickets. Okay, thanks, Rob. So I guess you're already in touch with people. I'll let Maria know after the meeting that it's being dealt with, that there's some technical issue with the ticket exchange.
Okay,
thanks. Anything else you want to raise from your side, from OSG, Rob?
No.
Okay. Anybody got any questions for OSG? No, okay. Okay, we'll move on. Where are we? So review of action items, well, the only one in the list was the one to do with new RSS feeds when downtimes were extended or shortened, and Jill has already answered that indeed there should be new RSS feeds. So on to any of the business. Anybody got anything they want to raise?
Yes, again, me. Last week there was a new release of the KIC portal, and this added some features to the regional dashboard. So those people in charge of regional operations might be interested to have a look on the release notes on the KIC portal. That's all I have to say about this.
Okay, thanks for that, Rolf. Actually, yeah, I think I've been meaning to do this for a while, but you just prompted me. I'll include an item in the agenda for specifically for the operations tools, so people can give warning of downtimes and also upgrades, you know, new features and that sort of thing. I'll put that. Okay, anybody else with any other business? Nope, okay. Well, thanks everybody for joining. Next meeting will be next week, and we'll speak to you then. Thanks then, bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.